Your name, please.
I'm Mrs. Dan Abel Kimball. I write under my own name of Doris Fleeson.
And your position and occupation?
I am a political columnist, and my work is distributed to about 125 newspapers, chiefly in big cities, by United Feature Syndicate.
Miss Fleeson, from your long association with politicians, do you feel that a man can be a competent politician and remain honest?
My viewpoint is that it's like any other occupation. A man must be careful not to be moralistic because it's a very human occupation, but he can be just as moral. In fact, he ought to be even more moral than people in other walks of life.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service, Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Miss Doris Fleeson, leading syndicated political columnist. Here is our moderator, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy, Executive Secretary, Division of Radio and Television for the National Council of the Protestant Episcopal Church in the United States. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Miss Fleeson, and thanks for inviting us here to your house in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. I've wondered, what is actually the purpose of writing a column on politics?
Well, one's purpose is to have a congenial occupation, I suppose. I was most interested in politics from my early childhood, and I was one of the lucky people who set a course and was able to follow it with relative fidelity throughout my life. For that, I shall always be eternally grateful.
Well, I'm sure, like everybody else, a person has to make a living, and yet I wonder, is there a purpose beyond this that has perhaps contributed to your success?
Don't you think most people who make a success work for ideas bigger than themselves?
This has been my experience. I was just wondering now, what is the idea, what is the service which your column performs?
I like to think that it's a service of making more plain, more clear, the meaning of events each day as they relate to what happened before and what is likely to happen in the future. This, I think, straight news reporting, which merely recites the day's events, cannot achieve. It is, I think, the reason for the growth of the columns, and it is their function.
What does the average person need to know about politics in order to be a good citizen?
Well, he needs to know who governs him and how, both at the local level and on up through the state and national level. Who is more important to us than these men in our state legislatures and in Congress and our mayors?
But I've wondered if the average person doesn't think of government rather in selfish terms of what the government can do for him. Isn't there a growth towards thinking of the government as the great white father, the paternal person that's going to take care of us?
Father Kennedy, don't people have the same attitude toward their employers? Aren't there some people who have that same attitude toward the company that they work for, that it should do a great deal for him, that he's not doing for himself? I think it's more the individual who has a certain point of view. I have seen in 30 years of this business acts of unselfishness and heroism and persistence and courage and determination by public servants that pass all bounds. For what? For an idea. In politics, everybody is human, only perhaps more so, because there is more opportunity in politics for the display of our human traits.
Well, politics is actually just the business of people living together, isn't it?
That is all.
I've rather regretted what seems to be the passing of parents saying, when they want to compliment a young man, he may grow up to be a president of the United States. I don't hear this as much now. It used to be a common saying, as I remember it, of a young fellow, he may grow up to be president. This was a aim that every red-blooded American boy might well have and be proud of having.
They don't have now?
I'm not so sure. There's an awful lot of work connected with the presidency, people are beginning to think.
Well, you're saying that Americans don't like to work anymore. I think there are probably just as many self-starters in the world, Father Kennedy, as there always were. There never were too many, after all. One of the joys and pleasures of my occupation are the young people who come into the business that I see in the press galleries and at the White House and see in my daily work. I'm sure they're just as able and smart.
And their aims and standards are as high?
Sometimes higher, I'm sure.
Do you think that the younger people coming in have any difference in approach in trying to keep contact with people, of truly representing their constituency?
Have you ever been around any of the younger members of the Senate or the House?
A few.
They think they can accomplish something. Furthermore, they intend to try. I think it's wonderful. I wish I could help them more. Remember that you and I today are at a watershed of history, in my judgment. And I see no reason to believe that all these younger people that we have educated, that we have shown a new life to, are not going to carry on, are not going to do as well or better than we did.
What are the characteristics of a true leader, in your estimation, Miss Gleason?
Well, I don't think I could capsule a reply to a question like that.
Well,
I think men develop qualities of leadership when responsibility is placed on them.
In other words, they have the potential, but it hasn't had a chance to come out.
And there are different kinds of leaders. People followed Mr. Truman for different reasons than they follow Mr. Eisenhower. And in each case, the reasons are entirely valid.
In other words, it's a real contribution comes from the person.
There are just as many different kinds of leaders as there are kinds of any other, of scientists and newspaper reporters. A leader must be, of course, ready to make decisions and accept the consequences and go on from his mistakes. He must inspire confidence in people, of course. But he must work above all, I think, for something bigger than himself.
What would that be, do you think?
Well, I think with any American president in my lifetime, certainly, adult lifetime, it's been peace. World peace, collective security, a world organization for peace. I'm sure that it was the prime preoccupation of Harry Truman, exactly as it is today of Mr. Eisenhower's. Why does Churchill defy his doctors to make this trip? He wants his one last great act of statesmanship to be a contribution to peace.
Do you think that great leaders reflect the feelings of people, or do they bring something new into the scene?
Well, I'm not going to invade the field of the historians. They argue on both sides that events follow leaders, or leaders hop on the bandwagon of events. You remember the saying? Crowd is in the streets, I must find out where they are going because I am their leader. And there are men who attempt to take people along with them because they already have the idea.
I'm sure you find a lot of successful people in positions of leadership who manage very well under this kind of a theory. I personally feel that in great leadership there is a configuration of events in a person's mind where he's able to see clearly that doesn't happen in the ordinary people. I think, in other words, he is a step out ahead.
A leader is a man who has the right vision at the right, and is able to take people along with him. Some of our greatest leaders have had the right vision, but the times weren't propitious, or the people weren't ready for them.
Well, they exercise their leadership on a future generation rather than on their present generation.
I think they live. They may not live with the glory that's visited upon people more popular in their lifetime, but...
In the matter of your column, Miss Fleeson, what are some of the presuppositions which you have regarding your reader as to what he perhaps wants to know, what he needs to know, what kind of information is going to be most helpful to the person?
I don't think presuppositions is quite the word I would apply. I'm assuming that my reader is interested in the important things and the vagaries of human nature among the people who run their government and situations. And I just start fresh each day, assuming that if it interests me, I guess I think it will interest them. And if I make it plain, what I saw and what I learned, that it will have a certain that it will be able to attract their attention, have, shall we say, a certain effect upon them. I don't strive for a given effect. I simply mean that they will open their eyes to a situation as it actually is rather than what they might have thought it was.
You try to bring reality to them.
I think it's better if we explore the meaning of life each day rather than accept just because it is something because it's always been so. I am never perturbed, particularly because some people don't agree with what I write. I think I have been more than generously treated by the public through the years, and I'm grateful for it.
Do you find that the politicians have any connection with church as such?
Some do and some don't.
Do you think it makes any difference?
I always believe that those who have faith that they try to live by are going to do better because they have a support for what they are doing. They are able, I believe, to be stronger and more charitable. I don't see why they wouldn't be. I think the only thing to guard against is the attempt to use faith to help us. I was never more proud of being an Episcopalian than when our bishops, several years ago, in a pastoral letter, reminded us that we are not, that God is not our property, we are His.
Do you think that women add anything particular to politics that men don't?
I think women are the realistic sex. I think they are less romantic than men and more realistic in their approaches as a rule. But I am not at all of the opinion that women per se are better than men or do a better job. Women are people. Some think and some don't think.
Miss Fleeson, what are the satisfactions you get from writing your column on politics?
I think I'm a very practical person, and I like to be useful. It's what I know how to do now, and I've put a great many years of struggle and effort into it. And the ability to express myself is to me a very precious one. I don't do it as well as I wish I could do it, but each day I do it the best that I can, and to me that makes life very, a very fine thing. I hope that the things that I believe in are such that what I do is worthwhile to other people.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Protestant Episcopal Church in the United States. Today's guest was Miss Doris Fleeson, leading syndicated political columnist.